Hello, everyone, and welcome to Roleplay Swan Song Week 42. I do believe
it is.
You guys fucked everything up to start. Late. Skype's fucking everything up. Steven's got to leave in like 27 minutes or something.
Food.
Oh. Jeff, like, his camera doesn't come on. That's just Skype. That's not Jeff's fault, though.
There you go.
That's true.
But we made it. We pulled the show off. We have 7 minutes to do an intro, or else the YouTube comments will be upset. So that just means...
Does anyone read those anymore?
I mean, they're just going to be upset anyway.
I haven't read YouTube comments in a while.
They'll be like, it's only 7 minutes of intro. Pre-show's the best part of the show.
I've been doing this quite long enough to be like totally jaded yet, but I don't check them nearly as often as I used to. I can feel it slipping away
from
me.
I used to read them all, and it was like a really enjoyable experience because I liked them getting into the story. But YouTube, you're guaranteed, at least for me, like a solid three people that just they'll be like, I was really cool. Then someone would be like, does it just bother anybody else that Jeff's fucking alive? Like, just the way that he breathes.
It's real. Well, it's totally real.
Let's make it clear. Like, if everyone's just like, YouTube watcher, yeah, you're listening to these words, we're talking about you. Yeah, we're actually talking about you right now.
Be a better person, man.
He should have thicker skin. He's been through this, and I hate how he's got hair. Fucking asshole.
I see your fingers posed above that keyboard. You do not post that down. Shit.
In reality, we love them. I just don't read them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I haven't read them in a while.
But here's to you, shit lords of YouTube.
Sorry, I didn't mean. I was just curious. Go ahead. Sorry. Resume.
Jeff. Is your webcam? Hey, your webcam looks pretty good. I was going to tell you to tilt it down, but it doesn't matter. Talk to me about your Commander Iron Man run.
Bro. So we're on number 12 right now.
I saw 12 earlier is what you tweeted, so.
XCOM 2's evolved in so many ways that you can only imagine. Like, one of the ways it's evolved is the old XCOM used to kill you pretty quickly in the first few, you know, you'd like, this is a decent run, and then you're dead. And you're
on the third mission, I assume?
Huh?
Is the third mission the one that messed you up, the hostage mission? The first one that you do?
No, I was talking about Enemy Within. I consistently make pretty deep runs. If I get past... So it's number 12, but if we don't count the first two missions, it's number, like, 4. Because the first two missions, when you die after, like, a 15-hour run, you're like, well, fuck. Let's just get through these two easy-peasy missions, right? And then the goddamn commander blows off through your guys' heads, and you're like, well, I can't start this way.
Yep, and then you keep restarting. I've done that multiple times.
So that's what happened. But right now, I have my best run yet. And it's actually funny, because, you know, it's only Wednesday. But I played 15 hours, 17 hours, and then today I've played 7 hours.
Nice.
And I'm gonna play more. But Anna every day is like, hey, have you put me in the game? I'm like, no. No, I have not. And then today...
Because I love you. I don't want you to die.
Well, that's not why. But yeah, I came out of the character pool. There's Anna, and she's actually like... She's mega fucking badass. So I don't know if it's building me up only to tear me down.
See, I think that happens, though, to... Like, that happened to Zeke in my game, and now it's happening to you in my game.
All right, hold on. Stop 1 second, right? Because I know everyone that watched Drop Frames is already like, holy shit, I've listened to like 20 hours of XCOM. And I love the passion and excitement that you have, but I have to give an observation after listening to Drop Frames about XCOM 2.
All right.
Is that I listened to JP talk about the accomplishments of Ezekiel in this game, XCOM 2, but was so fucking fascinating about the entire thing was that Zeke was sitting there nodding his head as if he did accomplish this. And I was like, that actually is fucking awesome and so crazy at the same time.
See, but now, because I started a new run because Zeke died, which was, I was actually very upset when that happened because it was out of nowhere, as it usually is. But now Jeff has replaced Zeke and he's the badass in the run currently.
What am I? Am I a ranger?
You are a ranger, yes.
Yeah. Dude, that class is so, oh my.
See, but it gets overpowered when you get overkill.
Yeah,
because once you get overkill, you kill someone, and then you're immune to damage
Rangers,
for one.
I know. I just got that.
The swords.
Yeah.
I love the fictional universe they've created in which they're like, well, we've been invaded by aliens. We have all these guns and shit. What else do we? Somebody get a sword. Get this man a sword. Go and kill him.
Yeah.
Like, Yes. Yeah, all right. I'm in. Let's do it.
It's yeah.
So 40K, it's awesome. Bro. But just real quick, just I am loving it. Just the UI, the sound, the strategy. It is. I feel like harder, certainly than Enemy Within.
Yeah.
The super. All right. Yeah, the Long War mod, people will tell you, it's not as hard as Long War mod. That's fine. It's hard enough where, like, I just concluded my stream, and I was nervous. I've got, like, three to go on the avatar. You know, it's counting down. I had forgotten a reconnaissance satellite thing. So it's, like, just the tension you feel throughout the game.
Yeah.
Very few games do that as well as XCOM does.
Oh, yeah. No, you load into that game, and you're immediately just like, well, my stomach's in knots.
And you care. Like you said, you were so upset when you lost Ezekiel. It's like they do badass things. They create little narratives around themselves. Like, it's just such a fun game that
I
way.
It was the one time where I was upset that I didn't have a camera, because my immediate reaction was, oh. I pulled my microphone away, shouted, and then got up and left the room for about 30 seconds, and then sat back down, and no one really had known that I left the room.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, fuck, that just happened, guys. And like, I'm playing Iron Man, so I can't reload or anything. But it was good. Strippin' died the same way as well the day prior.
I saw that gif on your Twitter of Strippin' getting aced.
Yeah, that one hurt.
Sad time.
That one hurt as well.
All your stuff in me was so funny.
What the fuck
are you?
yeah. I put Wheat in the game. He's still pretty young, though. He's still a pretty young soul.
I thought someone said I died early on.
You might have died as well. I forget.
Yeah.
There's been so many. For some reason, there's like six Dodgers in my current game. I don't really understand that, but I have like a Dodger of every class, and so they kind of do pretty good. But yeah.
Dodger sisters. Yeah.
It's good times. I'll continue playing it. Something I haven't played, though, Wheat, talk to me about Firewatch, and also The Witness, if you still want to continue talking about that.
I mean, Witness is
great. Perfect time for me to heat my dinner.
Yeah, Witness is great. Here,
Witness is great. I'm still going through it. Like, I've now upgraded Witness from, like, totally awesome, amazing game that really intrigues me to probably one of... I don't know if I want to say the best games, but if you made me make a list of the five most interesting, mind-bending games, this would be really high on that list.
Do you put it up there with Connect 4 and Tetris, or where do you, like, where does this set with
Dude, other Connect puzzle 4, games? If you were any sort of renaissance man when it came to this kind of stuff, Jeff, you would know Connect 4 was retired many years ago by the official Connect 4 okay. Association See,
Connect
of America.
4, Connect 4 is making a comeback. These artisanal handcrafted Connect 4 sets.
Kazakhstan always had a Connect 4, you know, underground term, but they're kind of like the fighting game community where they don't really want it to get all corporate and shit.
Sure, yeah.
So they, you know,
yeah.
They, anyway,
after what happened in the '80s, we don't want to go back.
You know, yeah. and I love that Jeff calls me out because A, he's the exact same way about XCOM 2, and B, I know that like Anna's been playing it, right? So she's probably all like, Jeff, The Witness is so great. And it's like, yeah, I hear it from Weed, shut the I don't know.
Didn't Anna get sick?
I prefer my puzzle games Zelda and God of War, but both of those, the action got in the way of all the fun, if you ask me. Just got tired of all that action.
So Firewatch, you guys.
Did you finish it, Weed, or did you
No,
just
I haven't. Okay. I want it. I last night, it my either. Plan was to get home. And you know, all I want to say about Firewatch is that, you know, it's great when a game can just be driven by the dialogue of two people. Like, many will argue that this isn't really much of a game. That is way more of an experience. At least this is from what I've done so far. Like, I have not... Like, my hardest puzzle, my most difficult action has been navigating, right? And that's something we do in games all over. But how many times do you play a game where it's like you almost instantly can sort of feel why there is any sort of connection between two people, and then putting you out in an environment where, you know, it's you're out there in the middle of nowhere by yourself.
Did you get as far as the camera? Did you get the camera in the game?
I got the camera.
Okay, so this is the thing that I thought was super interesting about Firewatch. Firewatch is a game that's built on its environment first and foremost, right? Like, it's built to be a game that you absorb visually. because the audio stuff, that's it feels like subtext for the game. Like, that's going on kind of below the visual layer. The visual layer is kind of the main one. But I found that as soon as you got the camera, it completely changed the way that I interacted with that visual layer. Because now I'm like, okay, I've only got 18 shots, and I've got the whole rest of the game. And now I'm, like, specifically looking for, like, things to take pictures of.
Right.
Like, you start to interact with that environment in a really active way that I've never seen in a game before. Lots of games are pretty looking, but this one challenges you to be like, okay, cool, now find the prettiest shit and record it in the game.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, and again, I'm not done with it yet, so the other thing that I find really interesting is they do, I feel like, this interesting, like, reversal when it comes to games where... you know, they accustom you, I feel like, to being alone so much that the moment you're not is when it, like, the game gets uncomfortable or creepy. And it's just weird, right? Like,
there's a line in the game, kind of a throwaway line that Delilah says, where she's like, running into people out in the wild is, like, part of the fun, right? Like,
right.
She's like, well, what do you, like, why are you being weird? Like, just running into someone randomly in the wilderness is a part of this job. And I really think that of all the parts of the game, of the whole game, that's the line that speaks to what the game is kind of about, right? Where it's like, you're meant to be sort of alone, and the game's themes are all about that. It reminded me a lot of Gone Home in the way that it develops the space that the game is in. I thought it was fantastic.
If you guys like this, you should check out the movie Phone Booth, by the way, a cult classic where it's just two people in a phone booth, man. It's just, I know a lot of movies like have all this noise going on, but in Phone Booth, it's just the two of them, man.
Do you actually not like the movie Phone Booth?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought
Phone Booth was an awesome movie.
I'm sure it is.
There's a movie like that that's actually good. Like Phone Booth is whatever, but there's this movie... there's only two characters in it. They're two samurai. They're in a room. The movie's an hour and a half, and it's them preparing to fight each other. I can't remember the name of it. It's something in Japanese. But if you look it up, I'm sure somebody already knows what the title is. But it's amazing because that's all it is. It's like they're talking about, like, okay, well, we have to have this duel. And at the end of it, they get up, and then the movie's over. You don't actually see them fight. And I think taking that risk and being like, okay, we're gonna, like, there are things in Firewatch that are very different from the way that we interact with games with people in them.
Right.
And
just thematically, if you guys like this stuff, you should try tying your nuts in a rubber band and just letting it sit for as long as you can take it, and then. And that's
what
it.
Jeff is really trying to say is that he just wants to portray the stereotype of, you know, crazy adrenaline-filled rage gamers who only like to shoot shit dead, and using your brain is not okay when it comes to video games.
That's right, DJ Wheat. Just like... I want to just fulfill the stereotype.
Oh, I got to ask. I have to ask. Wheat, are you going to play Street Fighter V next week?
You know... I feel like what we should do, JP, is we should just get all of the streamers.
What? Did you fucking watch Drop Frames? Because that's my idea. That's what we're doing.
Let's do it. I think, like, you know, like, obviously you can't just get Justin Wong and on that shit.
No.
But I just feel like
anyone that's actually good at fighting games is banned. We're going to call it We Suck at Fighting Games Night. And we're all going to play fighting. Me and Zeke are already in. If you want to join the club, you're welcome to it.
I'm in.
We're going to play Street Fighter V on Tuesday night when it launches, and we're going to fucking be terrible.
All right.
It's going to be great.
I'm in.
Zeke will be terrible. You're going to be pretty good, I guess.
Wait, it's on PC, right? So I can just use my fight sticks.
Do you have the PS4 fight sticks?
I have, like, I'm looking at three fight sticks.
Oh, wait,
right
I guess
the won't PC. Any of them?
Yeah, any fight stick will work on the PC.
What?
Right?
Like, hey, Marcus. Marcus is a very good fighting player.
What? He's good at...
What?
Look, I held my own against Marcus in Super Smash.
Let's do pretend to not be an accomplished, very good fighting game player. Like, well, I don't know.
He's got his own damn stick. How bad could he be?
No, he's looking at three of them.
I have three in my fighting.
And you're pretty good, too. But you're putting a lion into the sheep's den here, as the old saying goes.
The sheep's den? The den of sheep. It's a
classic Israeli saying, as I understand.
Do not go there.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, next Tuesday we'll play.
Okay.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Adam, you played Firewatch. What else you been up to?
I played a little bit of Overwatch this morning. I know you've been playing it. Are you finding it a lot buggier than it used to be?
I found no bugs.
You're lucky. Three matches that I played today, I couldn't jump. Spacebar triggered a totally other thing, so bringing up random windows. It crashed six or seven times. Really? Yeah. I do like the new skins, though.
Wait, I have a question because I had no fucking idea about the loot system.
Yeah, that just launched yesterday.
So brand new. Is that only achieved through in-game currency, or is that in-app purchases?
You can buy it, but not yet. They don't have it toggled on. You only get loot boxes when you level up right now. That's the only way to get them. And then they're going to have it. They're basically like copying 100% Counter-Strike.
Yes, it's totally like CSGO, for sure.
Yeah.
So they just have skins for stuff?
Yeah, they already have skins.
Skins, new voices, new emotes.
And
new
look, spray. I'm going to shit on CSGO for a second. A knife can only look so cool, all right? A knife, there's only so many fucking...
It's reached peak coolness.
There's so many fucking things you can do to a knife, and they're really all not that cool. But the skins...
But it's gold, and it's got a chainsaw blade, and you...
The skins in Overwatch look great.
Some of the skins in Overwatch are very cool. I really like, I think my favorite is the Mercy Devil one.
Yep, because
Blizzard has a history of making like women characters who are like devils look like super overly sexy and kind of trashy. And Mercy is sexy and badass and not like naked with a whip, which is super cool. It's a really good skin.
It looks good.
On that note, did they do anything to what's her name's ass? Because that's
no Widowmaker is still broken. Yeah, good. She's still, But that's you know skeletal.
I like how tastefully 500% her waist size her ass is. I think that was because listen, in this day and age, with the amount of squats some of these girls are doing, that's about the butt you get from that. And I appreciate the nod to the athletic derriere women out there.
There you go.
It's not all about boobs, girls.
Jeff, it's fine.
Focus
she's
on
an alien.
The butt.
It's cool. She's an alien. It doesn't matter. She's an alien from the planet Sexy. Here to seduce you with her giant alien butt.
How, are you going to keep, is this back in the regular game rotation for you guys?
I mean, I played 12 hours yesterday and then.
Holy shit.
I'm probably going to only do, we made like a pact amongst all the streamers that we're going to, because we can't just play Overwatch every fucking day. So we're going to do like one night a week. I think we're thinking Thursday right now is when we're going to play Overwatch. And then the other
days
we'll
what's the situation? Is it available to everyone now? No,
it's still only if you were invited.
So is Reddit fired back up again? Because that's
fun. No, unless you're a streamer or a mod of a streamer, you haven't gotten in yet.
Here's where I'd put my Overwatch key, if I had one.
See, exactly.
Mm. Must be a roller coaster of emotions for you.
Definitely. Lots of ups and downs.
Jeff, that was great. That one was.
I owe inspiration to Adam. Actually, we haven't gotten past the roller coaster. We got to find more fun.
It's just too good. Like there's just too much material there.
There you go. Steven, besides eating on a schedule now, what are you eating? What'd
someone
you make?
Said it's called Only Watch.
Yeah,
no, that's only you've never seen that before. Yeah,
only
watch.
I haven't
heard that. For days. Yeah.
Only Watch. Yeah,
yeah, it's only.
That's what you get to do.
Yeah,
I'm behind Steve. Time.
I'm an Only Watcher. I've been playing Talos Principle because fuck The Witness.
Why?
No, not for any particular reason. Just because like I'm a contrarian about what I stream, and I didn't want to stream The Witness.
Oh, I see.
So
are you going to play it?
Probably. I mean, people are talking about it enough.
Hold on,
there's
a guy in the chat that says I'm in, and he's not a streamer or a mod. So let me mod him real quick.
That's better.
Only fair. Yeah.
No, I fucking loved Braid. I loved it. I thought it was a gorgeous game, great, interesting thing. So I'm super excited to play The Witness. That's basically all I've been up to. The roller coasters are still coasting and rolling. And maybe someday I'll be able to tell you more about it, but not today.
What are you eating?
Oh, I'm having some bacon and chicken ravioli in Alfredo sauce.
Did you make it yourself?
Hell no. Okay. Ravioli are fucking hard, dude. That's like an entire day's worth of meal prep right there. You gotta like roll out the pasta and cut it into shapes and fold the patties and you gotta like make all the filling and stuff. That's ridiculous. I made some Chinese dumplings once and they were good, but they were also a disaster because they all fell apart and whatever. But
if you make them, are they truly Chinese dumplings though?
Yeah.
My question to you.
I think actually I'm just appropriating the Chinese culture, and yeah, it's terrible.
That begs some interesting questions then, if you're appropriating the Chinese culture like that.
Mm. There are some conversations we could have about it. I am not the right person to talk about it.
And I'm really excited about the amount of long, uncomfortable pauses we're going to have in today's episode. It's going to be fantastic. Really.
Look, I'm just going to be eating through half of
it. It's one of those, is it?
Why? Just one last question. Why is Firewatch or whatever, why is that? Everyone says it's weird and uncomfortable and depressing, is what Total Biscuit said. Why is it depressing?
It's a game, you know, like every once in a while you have a game where it's like they approach issues that normally you don't see in video games. It just has a lot of that. You know, like I think a great example was like the Red Baron story in Witcher 3. Where it's basically
that was
like
a really interesting,
it was like a super deep domestic abuse you know, mission that, like, as it unfolded, you were just like, whoa, this shit is, like, kind of...
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was going to make a pizza joke that seems like it would have been wildly inappropriate.
Probably, yeah.
It's adult-themed, mature
the thing about, themed. The thing about Firewatch is it posits a difficult thing up front, and then you spend the rest of the game watching the character just kind of deal with that thing.
Okay.
I didn't find it like that. I didn't find it that depressing. Too. Yeah, I wouldn't say it was. I wouldn't call it like a depressing game or like a bummer of a game. It's just kind of like, okay, you're portraying a character who had a thing happen, and like you're seeing them cope with that or not, and you get to nudge them in a particular direction.
Jeff,
okay.
And then there's a giant penis monster at the end.
Yeah, so. Firewatch is actually about a soldier who's fighting off aliens.
Yeah,
and then at the end he dies really bad, and the commander screams, and that's it. So you'd be into it.
Sounds like basically my favorite game ever.
Yeah, might be into it. You might be into it. All right, we'll do Swan Song for 15 minutes and then take a break, I guess.
I'll need one after.
Actually, we do have 15 minutes of like fiscal bullshit we could do. Because y'all have a spaceship.
I love accounting. Having done my taxes, let's do it. I'm into
it. Let's do it. All right, debt runner. Let's make this thing happen. Yeah. So, you're all paid up for March, I think, with your friends here. You get an offer back, a salvage offer from Sunbeam, from Patil, for the bits of the Fulminate Blade for its salvage rights. So, did you want to take the gun? Because it's still a... Oh, no, you chose to take the gear, so the gun's busted. Okay, so the offer they give you is 35K for what's left of the ship.
Hey, that's 35K we didn't have.
Do you want to counter offer or do you want to just take it? Because if you counter offer, then there's a chance you could do better, but it's going to be a business role.
So. Oh.
Did we officially like get them to agree that we own the Fulminate Blade? I remember we were like working on it, but
you handed over the paperwork and you got the roles, so it's fine. Yeah.
Who has business?
Right, Miss Sakarian.
Yeah, let's call Sakarian.
I mean,
can we have...
he's a used car dealer now, so...
Yeah,
let's have Alpharius make a business roll.
I feel like he's the obvious choice, given his last attempt.
I was going to say, I hope it goes as well as the last one. That'd be really good.
I've got a minus one.
Oh, you know what?
You haven't paid
your monthly payment for or your maintenance for March yet. You paid for February.
Yes, we have.
So we can talk about that as a separate thing.
You know, I've got a minus one in business and also a minus one in charisma. So if we really want to get interesting, it should by all rights be me.
Yeah. Is it a D20 or 2D6? It's 2D6.
That's 2D6.
And I'm just a straight 2D6. I have a zero in it. Sound good?
Yeah, if you have a charisma bonus or penalty, that's the appropriate.
I rolled a flat six.
God
there.
Damn it.
Six. Okay, so no, you get the 35K base price. There's a little bit of haggling, but in the end, Sunbeam's like, nope, this is standard price for this ship.
We come at them with 40K, and they're like 15.
Yeah,
and then we spend the rest of the time haggling them back up to 35.
Yeah.
So I worked out the repair bill for the number of damaged systems, rolling randomly to see which systems were damaged, which ones are still functional. If we take a look at the Swan Song, currently all four of the subfittings are busted. So your Atmo configuration, your fuel scoops, the fuel bunker, and the cargo space are all busted. Your weapons were fine. So the laser and the Sand Thrower are okay. You don't have to repair those. And you're down to 5 of your total 20 hit points. So I guess my question, first of all, is where do you go to get it fixed? Do you take it to a
Sunbeam like facility like Patil suggested, or do you go another direction? Do you go for like an independent contractor to repair the ship?
Well, what would be cheaper?
You're going to get better work out of Sunbeam. It'll be faster, but it'll be more expensive.
What's the price?
It also seemed like they kind of maybe knew a little bit about the computer systems we had installed. I don't know if we're worried about that, but
it's wasn't there. It more like a? Didn't we already know that they knew something, but basically was like, "Yo, as a heads up," or was it actually?
Patil basically was like, "Just you know, keep an eye on those aftermarket installations." Right. He wasn't like, "I know everything about your illegal computer system."
Okay.
He's just like, "I see you," because you know, I mean, you're not the only smugglers that have a deal with Sunbeam for a ship. Your other options would be to go to Rajani for it, because I think she already knows about Pi, so that's kind of a non-issue, and she can pay people off to keep quiet. Or somebody can make a culture, whatever culture role, and have somebody else like a new faction or whatever fix it. It's up to you. Rajani would certainly be willing to help out.
Well, what's the price tag associated to these people?
It's going to depend on where you go. Do you want to get quotes from? Because you're going to have to bring. You'd have to bring somebody in to like walk the ship and like take a look.
Yeah, we got a quote from Sunbeam.
Okay,
I'll have Mr. Patil send over someone.
I can call Rajani. She's a friend of mine.
Call Rajani and leave Eric out of the call.
Okay, let's see. So if that's not bad. Okay, so Sunbeam can fix everything, fuel you up, all that jam for 215,000 credits. It'll take them 5 days to fix it.
Do we? We don't have that type of money, right?
Did you say 215?
Yes, 215 and then 30 thereafter.
Gonna be real honest. I got a lot of boxes circled. I have no idea which one of them is my current amount of
Turns
money.
Turns out, Eric, you really fucked up the ship.
Awesome.
So, just to give you an idea, let me.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm poor. I think I have.
Let me pull up like a fully furnished, like complete ship, and we can talk about how much a brand new ship would cost. So, let's see here. Examples.
Let's just take loans, and you know.
All right. So brand new, the Swan Song costs 775,000 credits to buy brand new. So this is, you're looking at a third of the total cost of the ship to repair it. Sunbeam.
This is like Pawn Stars. We're like we brought them on the ship. They were like, well, we're gonna have to get an expert to look at it. Best we can do is $5. We're so like, again, okay, and then we try to buy a new ship from them, and they're like, "It's $5,000."
So this is base price. So if you make business rolls, you can move that 215,000. If you go with Rajani, she can give you a cheaper price, but it'll take longer. You'll be on planet longer.
Guys, I feel like the right thing to do for us and for the show is to hire a shady lawyer to negotiate our business for us.
I mean, you know, if you want to pay commissions, that's a thing you could definitely do.
You know, any lawyer worth their salt is going to save us more money than they cost us, right?
Of course. So you want to get a quote from Rajani's crew as well?
Yes.
Okay, so for Rajani, let's see. You might look out. Her crew might be able to repair it quickly, but we'll see how I roll. Okay. All right. So Rajani can fix it for you. She's got a team. It's going to take 20 days to fix it. It'll be in the shop pretty much all month. But it's only going to cost you 170,000 credits.
Mm. That is a better amount of money we don't have.
Do they have a ship a crew on this planet?
Yeah, Vinaya is like her home base, so that you don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to call anybody in.
Oh.
How do you guys feel about just killing as many people as we can so we get a ship?
This is good factor. To see that you're here reinforcing that stereotype we were talking about earlier. Let's do it.
This is, in fact, the final episode of Swan Song, wherein the crew just goes batshit, blows up a planet.
Again, yeah, keep in mind, so here's the thing. You're looking at repairing the ship for a cost of, well, like, minimum, let's say, I mean, depending on if you make a business role, a decent business role or whatever, like, we'll call it absolute best
situation, you're 150,000 credits. You currently owe Sunbeam for the Swan Song and its upgrades almost a million credits as it stands. So, you know, like, without the Swan Song, it's going to be hard to make that million credits.
Yeah, what's another 100,000 on top of
that? That's exactly what we said. We brought it up from 700,000 earlier in the show.
We are good at this.
Yeah. Really, what we're trying to do here is Swan Song is just an extended metaphor about how difficult it is to get a college education. So you have this useless degree now. What are you going to do? So, yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna make video games.
You want to make a score, but you're gonna need the ship to do it, or you could try to find work on Vinaya while it's being repaired, or it's up to you, dear friends.
Call Sakari and have him repair it for free. Rip.
He's in the middle of some stuff right now.
I feel like, you know, we gotta go to Cabral. They know the AI, so, like, you know, they know all about what the ship needs. They're probably very vested in making sure that the ship is great.
Wait, we've got to go to Cabral? Can we even fly?
No.
Yeah, we should rent
some Not with an attitude like that.
A space tanker.
I believe. We can't. So, Rajani, 20 days, $107,000. Another option was
170,000 in credits.
Yeah. And then what? And the other option is how much and how many days?
215,000 credits, but only 5 days, because they have a factory here that they can just swap the parts out. And
so I would just throw out there that we probably would have a better chance negotiating a, say, loan or deal or job with Rajani and maybe getting the repairs done. Rather than, I mean, I don't know. We could probably scrape it together, too. I have 43,000 credits.
I mean, we could start an entirely separate thing where you owe... Because here's the thing. If you go to Sunbeam and they fix it, they'll just roll your 215 into what you already owe them. They'll be like, that's cool. Now you owe us, you know, 1.1 mil. But if you go to Rajani, I'm going to add another column to your debt tracker with her. You owe a criminal syndicate 170,000 credits.
Yeah, we're going to be paying two different people every month.
So at some point after the last episode, someone on Twitter referred to this show as Unbreaking Bad, which I thought was really funny. Yeah. And it's really just coming true now. So
it is.
Anybody got a chemistry skill?
You know, I feel like there are some really interesting opportunities within the field of psychic research.
Time to go legit.
Poor taste, Steven.
So?
Well, I mean...
I mean, y'all could discuss this, like, in character, if you want. You're up 35K from selling the bounty hunter ship.
Show of hands. Who really thought we could fucking pay off this thing anyway? Just fucking add the $215,000 to it. Who fucking cares?
Maybe
that is the most important answer.
Maybe if we leave the ship with Sunbeam for a little bit, then while Sunbeam is repairing the ship, we could do a job for Rajani and make some money. And then just come back and give that money to Sunbeam.
You're going to have to do it with three. I'm not going to let Sunbeam touch the ship for 5 days without constant supervision.
Mm.
Well, I mean, we've always kind of done it with three, if you really think about it.
You're right, you worthless fucking piece of shit. Fucking everything up.
You know, they say fighting about money is the most dangerous thing in a relationship.
It's okay, you know, the next time you need me to fucking forge some documents for you, maybe I should ask Eric.
I can forge documents with my brain.
I just kind of like roll my eyes. could I make a call to the Luminary to see if they could assist?
Yeah, you can put the word out.
Calling in some favors.
You can certainly try. Who are you contacting and by what avenue?
Hold on. Let me look at a certain list real quick.
I believe their code name is Money Does Grow on a Tree.
The Money Bag. The money code bag. Name, The Money Bag.
You need yeah. money, and they're like, that's what I do, and they just give it to you. It's
the credit conjurer.
What if, you know, what if we called number 11? He's Majidi.
Let's see here. Yeah, I mean, Majid's a little ways away, right?
Wait, what's that? What planet are we on?
You're on Vinaya right now, which is a Syndicate planet.
Oh.
Yep. It's the Syndicate's, like, homeworld, basically.
Oh, well, then let's call number 12.
Okay. All right. So you don't have, I mean,
this is
nobody
happening,
has...
like, in your private quarters, or...?
No, this is in my brain. I'm discussing with okay. God in my brain.
I got you. I got
God,
you.
What would happen?
And I'm thinking okay. maybe number 11. Oh, wait, that wouldn't work. We're not on that planet.
So, yeah, I mean, you reach out. You all have basically like the comms equivalent of like a dead drop where you message a system that changes on the regular. You don't actually have direct contact information for really almost any of these people. There are a couple you have personal relationships with you can call, but not this one. So you can put out word if you want to.
Yeah, I'll put out word to.
And how do you phrase it? Like, what do you say? Like, am broke, need help, send money, or
I'll put. What would I put? It'd be something like real Illuminati ish.
Some of that Illuminati shit.
I don't know. I'd get a red pen and draw a okay. red box and then put an exclamation point over it. And that's okay. what I drop off.
All right. Okay. All right. I will make a roll to see how that goes and I will get back to you.
Okay. Fantastic.
Does that kind of thing get bonuses? Or does it
We're on a need to know basis here, Steven, and right now you don't need to worry your little head about that.
Killer.
Okay. Alright, so first things first, you make that call. And I will get back to you because time communication travels real slow sometimes, so in the interim, do you want to start the process of repairing the ship, or do you want to go try to get work from Rajani, or because it might be a while before they get back to you?
Yeah, I think that Eric, that was a good idea. We should go talk to Rajani. I'll look into the ship and make a decision. I'll let you guys know.
I had a good idea.
Okay.
Piani, you gotta stay here on the ship for some reason.
Sure.
Okay. Alpharius, you coming with?
Yes.
Okay. Alright. Piani, feel free to call if you need anything. We'll see you soon. Pi, can we have one of your robots come with us? Kind of just like shout up into the air.
Yeah. Pi replies. Yes, absolutely. And one of them, I think, like you hear it coming down the hallway towards you.
Now, is this like Pi's body, or is it one of Pi's? What did we call them?
It's one of the adopted
rookies. One of the rookies.
It's one of the adopted. Yeah, the adopted warbots.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's gonna take long.
Does it have a gun?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They have weapons like built in, basically.
Great. Yeah. Okay. That's what we do. Then we head out for Rajani's place. Home, whatever.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like at this point I should ask.
Yes.
Is any of my equipment actually still intact?
No. Everything in your room was like completely destroyed. Yeah.
Maybe on the way, we could stop somewhere and I could buy a spike thrower and a combat rifle and an atmo filter and a pressure tent and a power cell and
you go shopping.
Yeah.
Like all you have to do, all you have to do is like, this is a planet where anything is available for a price. So you can just be like, I'm going to go shopping, and then you can spend your credits and
okay. Buy stuff. Anything I go TL, shopping.
Any TL4 or lower.
I go shopping to buy what's on my character sheet, and I'm just going to dump credits.
Go figure out the credits for that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we go over there. Let's take our break.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool.
We'll start with you meeting with Rajani.
All right, we'll take our first break here and then come back and go into hour two. So don't go anywhere. More roleplay coming up right after this. We'll see you guys then.